Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because we are continuing in the book of Psalms. And we know that this study expose us to the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Moses, or by Solomon, 1 was written by Moses, 1 by Ethan, and 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even your regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break, if you will, which at that time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, like I always do, I want to personally take time and thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on this show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I want to personally thank you so very much. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. That is Psalms 15, verse 5. The promise is that you will never be moved if you don't put out your money to usury or take a reward against the innocent. God said, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. That's taken from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. The promise is that God will feed you, my brothers and sisters. We will be fed if we focus and concentrate and keep him as our shepherd. God said through King David, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119, verse 130 is where that is taken from. The promise is that God's word is going to illuminate you. Smart, ignorant, or otherwise, you will get the understanding from God. So the question for this hour again is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want to take this time to bring it to your attention, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, written in secrets, written in parables, written in prophecies, written in proverbs, written in paradoxes, written in riddles, and written in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. That's critical to know, my brothers and sisters. That's why I keep this as a reminder. I know you know this, but I'm reminding you of it so you don't forget it, that the only way you're going to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms, as I indicated earlier, and I've written 232 instructions for these Psalms. Now, we're just on instruction number 31, and we're looking at, we're on instruction number 37, and we're looking at Psalms 24, verse 1 and 2. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction as I read the text to you. The instruction is God's ownership. God owns all things. And this is the instruction that is going to be identified in the text. God's ownership. Psalms 24, verse 1 and 2. This is what David says to the Israelites. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world which the earth is within, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So King David is telling Israel that God owns all of this. Now what we want to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we want to see how the New Testament compares and agrees with what I just read. We're going to turn with me, if you will, to Revelations chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 11, Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. And this is what it says at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, concerning God's ownership. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So the angel speaking, or the instruction given out of Revelations, it is telling us that God is the creator of all things. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the indwelling is the ultimate walk or work in God, and that it is what seals the ownership, that the indwelling is the ultimate walk in and with God. This is what seals the ownership. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is what I'm trying to share with you, that if you have within you, then you are going to be more than just successful. You will have salvation as a result. Let's now go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 38. Turn back, if you will, with me to Psalms 24 again. We're going to read another several verses, Psalms 24, verse 3 through 6. And in this verse, we're going to get this instruction, which I want you to pay attention to as I read the verse to you. This is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord God? My brothers and sisters listening out there, there is so much to being with God. And this is one of the elements. David tells Israel, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord God? Who shall begin their journey going up into heaven? This is what Psalms 24, verse 3 through 6 says. And what I'm going to do, since I see it as a break, we're going to continue after the break.
Hi, John Maxwell here today. Welcome to It with Maxwell. The word today is lifting. I think all of us like to have somebody come into our life and encourage us to lift our spirits. I mean, we are attracted to lifting people just like we're unattracted to people who want to push us down. Sometimes when I travel internationally, I visually illustrate what I'm going to do with my hands, and that is very simple. That if I'm kind of a boss, I'm probably not a good leader, but I'm a boss, and I'm all the time pushing my people down. If I'm doing this, if I'm constantly pushing them down, guess what happens? As I push them down, you can see I have to go down with them. In other words, when I make you smaller, I make myself smaller. Just as if I'm lifting you up, as I lift you up, guess what? I become taller. I get lifted. And I tell people all the time, if you want to get taller, if you want to get bigger, if you want to get better, you got to lift people up. If you want to get smaller, push them down. Now, I know what you're thinking right now, John. I want to be taller. I want to do bigger, better things. If that's the case, become a lifter. Take people where they are, lift them up, and trust me, the stretching will do you good. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with instruction number 38. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord God? This is what David said to Israel about that. Psalms 24, verse 3 through 6. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, Jacob, Selah. So who shall ascend? He that is, who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his voice unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Those are four attributes that are very significant. Those are just part of what we need to satisfy God. That is not the only, but there are many more aspects or attributes that we must perform in order to be worthy of godliness. And now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the New Testament compares and agrees what we just read. Now, this is Jesus giving his Sermon on the Mount, telling those who were listening, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord God Almighty? This is how Jesus puts it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 12, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus is saying, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord God? He's telling them, those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn because of their waiting on the Messiah to come. Those who are meek, those who are righteous and hunger after righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who don't resist them that try and persecute them. Those are some of the elements. Again, there are more, my precious brothers and sisters, but those are a few that will apply, that we should apply in order to be right with God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is our wherewithal for having God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Basic instructions before leaving earth. That is the key to our success with God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 25 this time. Psalms 25, we're going to look at verse 8 through 10. And I want you to keep in mind as I read the text this instruction. This is what I want you to pay attention to. Who will God teach his way? Now, that is really significant because we should want to know, who will God teach his ways? And this is what David said to Israel in Psalms 25, verse 8 through 10. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners his ways. What? God will teach sinners his ways because he's good and upright. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. So not only sinners, but those who are meek, he will teach his ways. All the path of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now that is really significant, because when you hear the word sinners, we are thinking those who are not concerned about godliness. But in this instance, David is telling us the repentant sinner is who he will teach his ways. Okay? And that's part of the parable that comes, or the mystery comes with the Bible that I talked of earlier. We know the Bible's in code. All right, though, let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what the Hebrew writer says about this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we're familiar with this particular verse, but I'm going to read it and talk about it anyway. This is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay, now you got to believe what we're talking about. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that is who God will teach. All of those who will learn, period. In fact, God is instructing every creation that he is made in doing his will. And that's something that is more of a mystery than we could even discuss, because it is incomprehensible that that's the case. But that is the truth. God's in control of everything. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, God will teach all humanity the ways either to life everlasting or to death eternal. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That coincides a little with what I said is incomprehensible about God controlling all things, but God controls all things. And as far as humanity is concerned, the Bible teaches us that every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess. And we know that that is a part of teaching or leading or directing or administering. And those who respond affirmatively will have life everlasting, but those who do not respond will have death eternal. And that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go back to the psalm, and we're going to go back to Psalms 25 again. We're going to get more instruction from Psalms 25. We're going to look at verse 12 through 14, verse 12 through 14 in Psalms 25, And this is the particular instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. And this is the instruction. This is what the fear of the Lord God gets you. Now, this is what David told Israel. So the fear of the Lord is a critical point in our relationship with God. And this is what the fear of the Lord gets you, according to Psalms 25, verse 12 through 14. It says, "What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose." We just realized or talked about teaching, and you can see that if you fear the Lord God, your choice will be directed and guided by God. "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." Again, those who fear the Lord God, they have this promise that their soul shall dwell at ease, and their seed shall inherit the earth. Verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant." Okay, you want to understand the mysteries of the Bible? The fear of the Lord, that is your key to unlocking that. Now let's go to Matthew, our New Testament complement, and see how Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 tells us about this fear. And this is Jesus speaking, and this is more expansive than what David taught Israel, because Jesus puts it all in one nutshell. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "And the fear, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, both soul and body in hell." So that is what the fear of the Lord will get you. Heaven, not hell. And that is key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And I'll read that to you after we take a break.
I'm going to make a preposterous statement. If your eyesight is good and your health is normal, I could spend 20 minutes with you, and at the end of that 20 minutes, I would have you hitting a bullseye better than Howard Hill, the greatest archer of all time, had on the best day of his life. Now, understand, he entered 287 tournaments and won 287 of them. He killed a Cape buffalo, a Bengal tiger, a bull elephant. He killed an 18-foot shark under 15 feet of water with bow and arrow. Or maybe it was a 15-foot shark under 18 feet of water. It was a great big one, and he was way down there. Now, let me say it again. I could have you hitting the bullseye more consistently than Howard Hill could have. And you might say, well, I've never shot the bow and arrow. Well, there is one little caveat that we've got to add to this. I could have you doing that, though I have never instructed anybody on how to shoot the bow and arrow, provided we had first blindfolded Howard Hill. And you might kind of grin and say, now, come on, Ziegler, that's ridiculous. Of course. How on earth could anybody hit a target they could not even see? And I'll agree, that is an excellent question, but here's an even better one. How can you hit a target you don't even have? Where are your goals in life? Have you written them down? Have you identified the benefits you would receive from reaching those goals? Have you identified the obstacles, the difficulties you'll have to overcome in order to get there? Have you identified the people, the groups, and the organizations you need to work with to get there? Have you discovered or explored what you need to know in order to get there? And finally, have you put the date on it? You see, until you do that, you're just a wandering generality. You haven't become a meaningful specific. That's what you need to do in order to accomplish the most in life. You've got to have a goals program. Now, everybody's got goals. You know, alcoholics have goals, bank robbers have goals, but an organized goals program will work wonders in your life. Put one together. You'll be glad that you did.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, let us complete the instruction number 40. This is what the fear of the Lord God will get you, and this is what it should mean in your life. It should mean that because every knee shall bow and every life tongue shall confess. We read that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to the instruction number 41, and we're going to go back to Psalms 26, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 26, verse 1 and 2. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. And that is Psalms 26, verse 1 and 2. And the instruction is, ask the Lord God for this. This is what you should ask the Lord God for. Psalms 26, 1 and 2. This is what King David told Israel. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. So this is something that is good for us to do to accomplish our success in Christianity, is to ask the Lord to examine us and to judge us and to prove us, to look inside of us and make us right with him. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, and we're going to see how James complements, compares, and agrees with what we just read. James, chapter 1, verse 5. This is what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given him. Again, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and holds back none that asks for it correctly. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should ask God for grace, meaning the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because only through grace are we saved if we believe it. So that's the key. We should be asking God for grace. That is what I want you to understand, because grace is equivalent to salvation. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 26 again, and we're going to read verse 4 through 7. We're going to get more instructions out of Psalms 26, verse 4 through 7. And what I want you to do as I read the text, I want you to keep this in mind. This is the instruction. Declare this to God. This is what David is telling Israel that they should say to God. Declare this to God. This is Psalms 26, verse 4 through 7. Listen closely, my brothers and sisters, because this here may seem a little odd, but this is what we should declare to God. This is what David said. I have not sit with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. So what David is saying, we should declare this to God, that for our defense, if you will, we have not done these things, so we should have privilege with God because of that. Now let us go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to see how Paul instructs us today how to respond or react to God in making our declaration. This is what Paul tells us to do. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is the declaration that he's asking us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So now Paul is telling us part of our declaration is dedicating our physical life to God. And verse 2 says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul is encompassing both body and soul as part of our declaration, and that would be in totality. And so David just showed partial. Paul is showing total, and that is what is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that all our love, all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and all of our body should be required, and it is required by God, for acceptability as a sacrifice to him. So that is the declaration we should make, my brothers and sisters, that I am sharing with you, that we dedicate all. And of course, we know that that perfection cannot be attained this side of eternity, but we can be perfecting it. And that is what I'm sharing with you. Total submission to God the Father. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms. This time we're going to be looking at Psalms 27, and we're going to look at Psalms 27, 1 through 6. And as I read Psalms 27, 1 through 6 to you, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read it to you. This is the instruction. You shouldn't be afraid in life. And this is why we shouldn't be afraid, meaning from the Old Testament's perspective, this is what King David is telling Israel, why they shouldn't be afraid. And it has merit for us today. This is what King David says in Psalms 27, 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell because of the Lord God being the strength of my life and my light and my salvation. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And again, because the Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my light and my salvation, this is what David is telling Israel. They should not be afraid. And this is the one thing that they should be focused on, concentrated on receiving. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Listen, my brothers and sisters, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. My brothers and sisters, Solomon hit the nail on the head, or David hit the nail on the head, to dwell in the house of the Lord. That is to be a part of the indwelling that I tell you so much about, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is going to make us complete. And the beauty of the Lord in that house, and to inquire in his temple of what to do, we will not be afraid because we will have strength, have our light, and we will have salvation. Now, verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. If you are dwelling in the house of the Lord, you will have no fear. You will be protected completely. And verse 6 says, and now shall my mind be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So all the days of your life will be pleasant. That is what David is telling Israel, if they focus and concentrate and be in the house of the Lord. That is so significant. And that was back then, and that is applicable for us today. If you want to be successful in Christianity, you can incorporate Psalms 27, 1 through 6. Now let's go to our, before we go to our New Testament compliment, we're going to break for a commercial.
So a lot of times we get angry at our children for not being what we didn't model. Now, there were some things I couldn't model as a father. When Dexter got ready to go out for football, I never was into sports. So I remember calling Dion and saying, listen, he's going out for sports, football, and that's not my thing, so come down here and help me. I showed up at the games. I was there. I might have just got off a plane, but I was there at the games. But so far as helping him with his technique and how he needed to get down and how he needed, I wasn't the person to do that. What am I saying? You don't have to have everything to give what you've got. And if you didn't have a father, there are surrogate relationships that will supplement what you didn't get. But everybody in here needs a model. So stop using not having a father as an excuse for a lifetime of confusion, because over the course of your life, there ought to be a Dion or somebody that you can get on the phone and call and say, I'm not good at this, and then model that and get better. The point is, you can't be it by yourself. I got enough to fight when I go out.
Listen.
I don't want to fight when I'm home.
No. No.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we're going to complete instruction number 43, you shouldn't be afraid in life. And we already know that David told the Israelites through Psalms 27, 1 through 6, exactly how to accomplish this. And now we're going to look at Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, and we're going to see how the Spirit speaking to the church also compares and agrees with what Solomon said. This is what Revelations chapter 2, verse 10 says. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So what David told Israel is applicable right here. That's part of it, that we shouldn't be afraid if we belong to God. If we dwell in his house, and if we are inquiring in his house, and if we are seeking the beauty of God, then Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that we be faithful unto death, and we shall receive what we are faithful for. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we walk by faith in God and not by sight in the world, we will overcome tribulation with the Holy Ghost, fruit of joy. That is key. And we will have joy, hallelujah, all the way. Because that is exactly what is supplemented with this experience we're having. If we live in the house of God and we have the Holy Ghost resident within us, we will receive the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. And that particular one, fruit, or that is joy, will give us what we need to overcome or to be happy as we experience the life trials and tribulations. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 27. We're going to look at one more verse from Psalms 27, or two more verses, verse 13 and 14. And then this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. Wait on the Lord God. My brothers and sisters, wait twofold. Wait means serve God as a waiter, and wait means be still and be quiet. This is key, that we must wait on the Lord God. We cannot get in front of the Lord God. The horse must be in front of the cart. God is the horse, we're the cart. We must wait on the Lord God. And this is what the psalmist David told Israel about that in Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. And this is the benefit of it also. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed, meaning that David waited on the Lord. 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So David tells Israel that that is the key again to success. There are many keys to success. I mean, just like there are many ingredients to making a cake, there are many ingredients to making a pie, there are many ingredients to being successful in Christianity. This is just one of them that David is offering and giving to us. Now, to supplement this, excuse me, let's go to Isaiah right fast, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And this also is Old Testament, but this tells you about waiting on the Lord. This is what Isaiah says about it in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So even the prophet Isaiah supplements what David said about waiting on the Lord, that you will renew your strength if you wait on the Lord, and you will be successful. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see what Romans chapter 8 says about this. Paul giving instructions to the Romans, and again, this is the New Testament giving us more of an expanded understanding of the criticality of waiting on the Lord. This is the result, and this is how Paul teaches the Romans in Romans 11, chapter 35, and then verse 37 through 39. This is what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If you wait on the Lord, who is going to separate you, my brothers and sisters? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul is giving us an understanding that waiting on the Lord is going to prevent you from being beset by any of these things. And now, verse 37 through 39 concludes, and it puts it on this wise. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul has expanded upon this information of waiting on the Lord, what it will give us, that nothing will take away from this position that we have if we remain steadfast waiting on the Lord. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that waiting on the Lord is fail-safe. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Waiting on the Lord is fail-safe. That is something that we need to more than take into consideration. We need to activate that wait on the Lord. And we know it is twofold. That means to serve God, and it also means to be still and be quiet and know that he is God and that he will be exalted in the heavens and he will be exalted in the earth. That is critical. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 45. We're going to go back to Psalms 28. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3 and verse 6 through 8. Psalms 28. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. A good prayer to offer God. Now, of course, I will say any prayer is a good prayer, but if we can follow the examples of all of the witnesses that are in the Bible. We have them from generation, from Genesis to Revelation, that these men and women, they offer up and they beseech God for, and these prayers are all good to insert as applicable. And this is the one that David taught Israel. This is a good prayer to offer God. And this is in Psalms 28, verse 1 through 3, and verse 6 through 8. This is what David said as his good prayer to offer God. And I am going to take a break, and after the break, we will continue with the lesson.
You know, I don't do too many of these. I don't know who this is for type post. But I'm out here golfing. And sometimes I'll actually miss a shot, shank it a little bit, and it'll actually go closer to the hole. Then when I learn from my mistake and I hit it better, the actual results, the landing spot for the ball is not so good. So last time I did that, I said to myself, or perhaps the Spirit said to me, immediate results are not always evidence of progress, or progress is not always shown in the immediate results. So I don't know who this is for, but I just want to say, if you just started doing something right, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started dating correctly, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started praying fervently and without ceasing for something, you finally gave it to the Lord for once, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. Progress is happening, and it will show in the long run.
If someone were to ask you who is Denzel Washington, you would say, he's a great actor. I would say, no, that's what he does, but that's not who he is. If someone were to ask you who was Aretha Franklin, you would probably say she's a great singer. And again, I would say, no, that's what she did, but that's not who she was. Because we think that identity and activity are synonymous. There are many Americans right now that have lost their jobs, and for many, their identity was wrapped in what they did. And I want to encourage you and remind you that you are not a human doing, but a human being. Because your identity is not in what you do. It is in who he says you are. So I need for you to get up right now and remember everything he says about you. Right now, get up. Man, I want to say this humbly. Man, we got to stop sounding like broken records when we keep going to the Lord about the same thing, the same way, over and over and over again. It ain't really about the conversation and the time with God. We just want God to help and fix it. But instead of God so busy wanting to fix it, a lot of times God is wanting to fix me. And so he will use it as the tool to fix me. So the thing that we're wanting him to remove and to deliver that we keep going over and over and over about, it's like he don't know. He knows. And he also knows it is the thing that gets you on your knees quicker. And so whatever pushes you to your knees is good. For his glory and for your good. Because he loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete instruction number 45, a good prayer to offer God. And this is what David taught Israel in Psalms 28, verse 1 through 3. David says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. lest if thou be silent to me, I become like that that goes down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hand toward thy holy oracle. Draw not away with the wicked. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. So this is a good prayer to offer if you're definitely being confronted with folks that are trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do, more especially something that's going to offend the Lord God Almighty. This is a good prayer to offer to him. Now, verse 6 through 8 completes the thought when it says, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is my strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. So this is telling us that if you're going to God, if you're going to ask him and then give thanks to him, even if you don't receive what you initially asked for immediately, you must have faith and trust that God is going to answer you and give you what you need, more especially if it's because of godliness and not because of worldliness. Remember, if you're asking for vanity, meaning things that are worldly, those things only come to pass if, like Jesus teaches, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. Then you can be successful. But if you put, like we were talking earlier, the cart before the horse, if you put worldliness before godliness, then you're going to probably, you may not be successful. I'm not going to tell anyone they won't be successful, but you may not be successful. There's a formula that we follow in godliness, and it should be, as Jesus taught us, to God first and to us second. And that we should follow that pattern in our request when we pray to God. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go to the New Testament complement. And what I just shared with you should come into play, because this is how Jesus taught his apostles to pray. This is not a good prayer to offer. I would say this is the best prayer to offer. If you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, the apostles asked Jesus how to pray. And Jesus gave them this answer in telling them how to pray. To begin with, he told them that the best prayer, if you will, is the one that you make in your closet. And that's significant, meaning that it's not corporate, it's private, it's personal. And that prayer should go like this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Jesus says, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Now we know that it is God's will that should be done, not our will. The first thing you should realize is that we address God. If it's not his will, we must be willing to accept what God gives us. And in verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. The key with giving us this day our daily bread is giving us our needs. And that is not necessarily our wants or desires, but our needs. You can find in another prayer or another response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 what Paul did. He asked God to remove thorns from his side, and God did not do it. And God relayed to Paul that grace is sufficient for him, that in Paul's weakness, his strength was made perfect in grace. We have to realize, my brothers and sisters, that our daily bread is more significant to us than anything else we may want or desire. And that daily bread should be spiritual first and then physical. And it should be nourishing. It should be that which the spirit can grow from. And it should be that which the flesh can grow from. That should be part of that prayer. And that's one reason why Jesus is teaching, I think, in this particular prayer is ultimate. Now, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And of course, we understand it in other versions or other revisions of the Bible. It would say, this is the King James revision, but other revisions would say sin. And that's key. We must forgive. We must ask for forgiveness of our sins. And then we must forgive those who sin against us. And I guess the ultimate example is when Jesus died on the cross. He looked up to heaven with a prayer, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. So that, again, is significant. And verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For God is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that, again, to me, is significant of a perfect prayer by saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And remember Jesus in another prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus asked the Father not to take us out of the earth, but to protect us from the evil. And we know that in Psalms 23, we've already gone through Psalms 23, that David even says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want anything but the Lord. That is, again, incorporated in this prayer. And lead us not into temptation. So if we are focused on God, then this is going to become true. And the evil that would beset us, we will not have to worry about confronting because it will have been taken care of for us. And then ending the prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Giving God all the significance, all of the attribute he needs. I, again, submit to you that this particular prayer is the ultimate, it's the greatest prayer that one can render asking the Lord. And I would say, knowing the particulars that I just shared with you, and there's even more, would give more sustenance and more proof that this is the greatest prayer that could be prayed by a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. But that any prayer, okay, without slander, that you offer to God is a good prayer, regardless of its length, because you and God are talking to one another. That is my bottom line, my brothers and sisters. Even though I submit to you that this particular prayer that is considered the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is the greatest and ultimate, any prayer is good. And that's what I want to share with you before we dismiss this night. And now we are going to dismiss.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.